It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast. It's
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined not this time by Ramsey Von Damsey, Reek Von Deek, Rhaegar Von Dagar, Rhaenerys Von Daenerys. It's Rondarian Von Dondarian. He's not here. Ryan Davies not here. Instead, we have Game of Thrones expert Chris Scheim. How are you?
Hey, hi, howdy. How we doing, Keith?
We're doing very well. Scheim, all month long, actually the last couple of months, you've been doing Game of Thrones recaps.
Sure have.
They've been airing on the Mac and Goo podcast, also on the Dork YouTube channel. I think we have five, maybe going on six seasons available on the YouTube. I assume you're going to be doing season seven sometime this week.
You know it.
Yes. And season eight just around the corner, April 14th, it's going to start. It's six episodes. Oh, by the way, this is going to be spoilers for all seven seasons. All, what, 67 total episodes to this point. I would just say this is one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
And without question.
If you are worried about maybe you're not sure if you want to dip in.
Made the final four in the Dork bracket.
It did. Yeah, that was one of the, all the other ones had been done too. And this is, so the finale, and we'll get into this, like how this ends could also really determine some of the other great shows of all time. Breaking Bad, Seinfeld, The Wire, The Sopranos, they've all had sort of different, you know, series finales that have left people kind
of
wanting
show
more.
Like Lost, where people loved it for a really short period of time, comes in with this really weird ending, and people don't know how they feel.
No, that's true. My favorite thing going right now, the thing that makes me the happiest, is my dad had never watched Game of Thrones, and right around Christmas, I set him up with the HBO. I go, you gotta watch Game of Thrones. I think you'd really like it. He watched all seven seasons in like 3 weeks.
It's insane.
He just shotgunned the whole thing, and he loved it, and he's talking to me about all the characters now. So if you haven't started it, or it's one of those things, and I assume, because most of the people I talk to have seen it, so I assume everybody has seen it. But then every once in a while, you run into people like, oh, I haven't watched it. I'm like, oh, well, you can.
You have time.
You have, because everybody, there's only six episodes in season eight, and everybody's going to be talking about them. That's what it's going to be in April. That and Endgame. It's going to be those two things. That's all anybody's going to be talking about.
And this is probably like one of the most, if not the most, hyped up season of television in the history of television.
I think it is. I think I go back to Breaking Bad. That was another one where I didn't watch the first season live. I caught up on that and then was watching the rest of it live. But I remember there was a push, a lot of people waiting for the last season, and they got the DVDs or whatever, and they watched it all. And then, so that I think you're gonna have the same thing with Game of Thrones. So this week it's gonna be a little bit of a shorter episode, as you can already tell by the time code there. So we're not gonna do This Week in Hashtag Dork. Obviously, no Davies Video Game Minute. We're gonna get right into the topic du jour, Scheim, which is just the Game of Thrones season 8 preview. They already announced there are just six episodes, as I said. Here are the times. Just, I'm going to say what episode it is, and then I'm going to say how many minutes, and then what your first reaction is. Just, even if it's a sound, just that's all I need. All ready? Episode 1, April 14th, 54 minutes.
Okay.
Episode 2, 58 minutes.
Sweet.
Episode 3, 82 minutes.
Lit.
That is the longest of the series. There's never been an episode that long. Episode 4, 78 minutes.
Perfect.
Episode 5, 80 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 6, 80 minutes.
We're ready to go.
That's right.
I'm ready.
Because that is really, because last season was only seven episodes. The previous six were always 10 episode seasons, all right around an hour long. So you're getting, you know, some pretty good bang for your buck here, I would say.
Yeah, I think last season was the first time they ever went really kind of over that hour. They had like one or two episodes that were about an hour 20. And I think that's a good like length of the season wise. And this episode 3 is just going to be like the cat's bananas. Like, this is going to be
so that episode 3, by the way, they're saying that's going to be
the battle of Winterfell.
And they say it might be 82 minutes of just battle.
I'm pretty sure this took the battle scene took nearly 11 weeks to film, just this one scene.
Oh my god,
it's going to be it is going to put the Battle of Bastards to shame.
It is. No, it absolutely is. And that is the same weekend that Avengers Endgame comes out. That might be, for us dorks, what more is there? There's nothing more than that.
Literally nothing.
There's
more.
Nothing more. And it's one of the things Mac and Goo, me and Davey have been talking about, is after Endgame and after Game of Thrones, do we continue with the podcast? Like, what's the point?
I think this is it.
Yeah, this is it. I think we might just go back to like, hey, remember episode 2? Like the fifth minute in? Like, here's something we missed. Like, that's all we're gonna have. Do you have any concern at all that knowing where they are right now, and we'll kind of recap season 7 pretty quickly, but where they're at right now, knowing that you're already, we got to jump to some sort of conclusion. Are they giving themselves enough time?
This is what's been really bothering me that I've noticed is that I feel like this is going to be a little rushed. Like, as much as I love this show, and I love this show more than just about anything on the planet,
yeah,
I feel like they didn't give themselves enough time to really give it a good ending.
Yeah.
So I'm worried that they're going to kind of shoehorn things in, and they may just kill people off just to tie up loose ends.
I think we kind of, in a way, in season 7, like the Sand Snakes,
yep,
they seem to sort of had run their course, and they were like, all right, well, they're not going to come back, so we're just going to kill them.
Yeah,
like,
we're just going to make them prisoners and kill them.
Yeah, it seemed like that. Because, you know, you look at it, and it's going to be about as much screen time as season 7. You know, I mean, you have 3 episodes that are 80 minutes or more. Actually, essentially 4 episodes that are about 80 minutes. So the 6 episodes looks like one thing, but it is, you know, you're going to be getting a good amount of time. One of the complaints last year, and I know Ron Von Don was actually one of the proponents of, like, hey, don't complain about this, is sort of how fast the travel was in season 7.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of ways you can go. You can either, as a series, really draw things out, like The Walking Dead, and drive people crazy.
Oh.
Or you can do what Game of Thrones did, which they created this world that was so big, and it was like, all right, these characters were so far away from each other, and now in season 6, it was like, hey, we're in Dragonstone, now we're in Winterfell, now we're in Dragonstone, and you're like, well, aren't these kind of further away from each other? But I think I kind of side with Davey on that. Like, let's just tell the story, and I'm okay with it. I don't need to see them walking forever.
You need to have some suspension of disbelief here. Like, we're in a magical world that literally has dragons in it. So, like, for me at this point, Daenerys being in one place and then being in another place, like, that doesn't matter to
me. That's fine.
She's a freaking dragon.
She also has a dragon. Right.
Like,
that's fine.
And even the travel with the other people, like, it's like, all right, we're at Winterfell. Now we're at King's Landing. Now we're in River Run. Now we're in Winterfell again.
Like, that's fine
with me. I'll get over it.
That's fine. Like, as long, and, you know, because I don't need to see them sleep. I don't need to see them do all this stuff. And so as long as it's not too crazy where he just goes and then, like, comes back, it's like a day trip. Like, no. I don't care if time passed. I don't need to see every single second. So I'm fine with that. So let's catch everybody up. Where are we at here following season 7? I know you haven't recorded your recap just yet, but sort of let's kind of lay of the land here. Where are some of the people at? Obviously, it was a pretty chaotic ending. The wall has fallen.
Yes.
But take us through, how else would you describe season 7?
So right now, season 7, we have a large, basically you have like 3 camps of people. It's, you have the people in King's Landing, the people in Winterfell, and then the people in at the wall.
Right.
And for the most part, the wall is just the Night King and his army marching through, having torn down the wall thanks to his magic resurrected dragon.
Son of a bitch.
You're really
the most emotional, probably the most emotional scene in all of Game of Thrones. There's been so many deaths.
Pretty tough.
I think the dragon death was the worst for me.
I think watching Rob's pregnant wife get stabbed was top of the list for me.
Yeah,
but the dragon was a close number 2.
Okay, fair, very fair. That was intense. And then when you saw him come back, when they had all those chains, I don't know where they got all those chains, by the way, but they got all those chains, and they bring them out, and you're like, son of a bitch. So that was brutal. And so, yeah, they are moving, and a couple of guys there, 2 of my favorites, Beric Dondarrion and Tormund Giantsbane, were both at the wall.
Really,
we don't
know. They could have gone either way.
They could have, but they're too big of characters, I think, to die off screen like that. So I think they'll be back.
We noticed in the trailer too that we at least saw them. I don't know
point.
If it was maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it could easily have been like a little flashback type of thing.
Yeah.
But we did see them in the trailer, like walking into some kind of cavern because Beric was holding a like a torch.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
He was with Tormund and a couple other people that I couldn't really identify.
All right.
I think. So I
but the
think
wall is fallen.
Yeah, the wall is definitely fallen.
The wall is fallen.
And they are watching the Night King's army march through, and they're like, "Holy shit, we're screwed."
Yes, they are, absolutely.
And so then you have your group at Winterfell being led by the likes of Jon, Sansa, Arya. We have Brienne and Podrick are there now because they're where Brienne's coming back from the Riverlands. Peter Baelish is now dead.
Yeah, Littlefinger dead.
Winterfell. You got
at
some,
the hands of Arya. Yep. Sweet kill.
Oh, that was a sweet kill. Little okie doke they gave him.
So
too.
One complaint, and this should be more about season 8 than season 7, but one complaint I had about season 7 is some of the scenes with Arya and Sansa. To me, a lot of movies are guilty of this, where they're essentially just trying to swerve the audience, I feel like. Because some of their one-on-one conversations, based off of the end result, they had to be more on the same page than they were letting on.
So I actually think that the tension that they portrayed to be there is actually there. I think that Arya doesn't trust Sansa, like, as far as she could throw her.
Okay.
And I think that, but Arya cares about Jon in a way that's
for sure
almost like similar to how Cersei cares about Jaime.
Well,
like
let's not go that far, Shime. How dare you?
He was the one person that ever understood her because she was always kind of an outcast. Like,
they have a great relationship. Let's not paint it as a Cersei. Well, that is exactly
like,
where the people
like
are going to go.
Very intimate love.
Well, please. You're making it worse.
Hey.
They have sex in treehouses.
Like, let's wait until predictions, all right?
Okay, I am. Wait. I can't wait for predictions.
I just think she trusts Jon and has a very intimate relationship with him, and I don't think she trusts Sansa at all, especially because knowing where Sansa's been with Cersei and Olenna Tyrell and Littlefinger, learning from all these deviants. People.
Yeah, right.
And so, but at the same time, I think Arya also recognizes that it is still her sister and that having more Starks around is never really necessarily a bad thing.
No, that's probably true. And I think Arya, too, like, is just going to respect people that can handle themselves physically, I think.
Exactly.
Like, that's got to be part of it, where she's like, so Jon battles. Yep. And, like, she gets it.
And she, like, relates with Brienne.
Yes.
And the Hound.
Because they can take care of themselves.
Exactly.
And, like, okay. All right. And then so what's going on right now with Cersei Lannister? And it was sort of like a fake truths almost with Daenerys.
Yeah. So we had the giant council they had down in the Dragon Pit.
Yep.
At King's Landing. And Euron Greyjoy, quote unquote, flees because he's scared of these White Walkers. And let's be honest. Let me first identify that Euron Greyjoy is not afraid of anything.
No, he's not.
This man is psychotic.
Yeah, he's nuts. He's a great addition to the show.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
And he, I don't, and we all know that he's not just leaving to hide on the Iron Islands. We all think that he's probably going to go grab a nice little army for Cersei.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of feigning an alliance or not a truce for now with Daenerys so that she can fight the White Walkers coming from the north, and then she's going to fight Daenerys from the back, kind of get like a nice pinch attack going.
Oh, yeah, that's a good technique.
And really kind of maintain her hold on the Iron Throne, or at least try to.
Do you think Cersei is really pregnant?
I do.
See, I think it's a load of shit.
Wouldn't be shocked.
Or do you think it's not Jaime's?
I think Jaime's? She is and has a miscarriage.
Oh, okay. But do you think it's Jaime's?
No, I actually think it's Euron's.
Yeah.
And I think that's how she kind of keeps him, keeps him tied in.
How come we didn't get to see that scene?
She's done it already 3 or 4 times in the show already between Jaime and Lancel Lannister, like having sex with people just to kind of keep them close to her and keep them loyal.
Right.
And then she can dispose of them when she needs to.
Yeah, so that makes sense. All right, and then we can also get into, last season, I wouldn't say a lot of major characters died. Here was the rundown of who died, though. I mentioned the Sand Snakes. They all died. The mother, though, Alaria Sand, we assume is dead, but we don't see her dead body. Any chance she comes back?
Doubtful.
I think she's probably dead. But they didn't show it for some reason.
This show, for whatever reason, really kind of didn't care about the Dornish people other than Oberyn.
Oberyn was the fucking man.
He was the best,
Holy smokes. He's one of the best characters of all time.
And then they just kind of, like, he dies, and then they just kind of move on from Dorne. Dorne becomes, like, an irrelevant
faction. It ran its course, but it was very important at the time.
Exactly.
And then, so Oberyn, too, I got myself down a wormhole of family trees.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Oberyn is, like, Dany Targaryen's, like, brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law by marriage.
Yeah. Fuck, crazy.
Because Dany's older brother, Rhaegar, married Oberyn's sister, Elia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
It's nuts.
It's so cool, too, when you go back and look at all the different battles, and like whether it's Robert's Rebellion or some of the ones even earlier than that, and you see what houses were on what side and how some of them, as the show has gone on, have sort of changed.
Yeah.
But that's another whole thing, but that's very enjoyable. Speaking of houses, the Tarleys are almost gone as Randall Tarly and Dickon Tarly both die. butt dick on. Jamie would always make like
he
a comment.
He really got
too.
Dicked
like,
on.
Okay, dick on. Is dick on? He's like, and then those guys were. So Randall Tarley, though, is one of these legendary fighters, right?
Yeah, so like only second, and even maybe kind of tied with Stannis, he is like one of the legendary commanders in all of warfare. Like, he is like.
Didn't he
second...
defeat Robert Baratheon?
Yeah, he was.
Obviously,
one of
he
didn't the
kill
only...
him, but like, he defeated him in war once.
During Robert's rebellion, yeah, he right, was like right. the only general to ever defeat Robert.
So that's pretty serious.
And Robert was never known for his mind. He was more known just yeah. for his power.
He's a brute.
But, like, you know, Robert had the likes of Ned Stark on his side and other guys who right. knew what the hell they were doing.
Right. And so the Tarleys both get burnt up by a dragon.
Which is pretty dope.
Old Lady Tyrell.
Yeah.
Now, we also don't see her die.
Yeah, but she takes
she
the poison.
She drank the poison, yeah, and I'm going to assume it's the poison.
So I think Olenna Tyrell is kind of in the same boat as Stannis. Like, we never technically saw
Stannis
die.
I was going to ask you about Stannis.
Yeah.
Well, you told me about a theory about Stannis.
Yeah, so I think there's a chance Stannis could be alive, that Brienne just kind of took him prisoner and has him hidden away somewhere.
That would be a sick reveal.
Which would be kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
I think he'd kill himself.
Yeah.
I think after thinking... If he was by himself long enough and he had the means... After
I mean,
really
he burned
about
his
what
daughter
he,
at
correct,
the stake.
Correct.
I think,
and all of his
himself.
Men deserted him. So yeah. I think he's gone. So I'm with you. Old Lady Tyrell's probably gone. She also goes out like a boss.
Yeah, she does.
She's like, oh, by the way, I killed Joffrey. Peace. And then, so
suck
she's
it.
Out. So one of my favorites, Thoros of Myr, is dead.
Yeah, feels bad, man. He got basically eaten by a
zombie bear.
Zombie bear, which is fuck a great way to go out. You could go out like Dick yeah. on Tarly. Could get burned alive.
Somebody update Thoros of Myr's Wikipedia to say killed by zombie bear. Not a lot of people have that on their Wikipedia. But Thoros of Myr, which also means my other favorite character, Beric Dondarrion, is down to his final life.
Yeah, this is...
he's got one to get.
Cat's ninth live right here.
Yikes.
He's got to be careful with this one.
Now, this one's sort of, I guess I have an asterisk by it, but Benjen Stark.
Yeah, so Benjen Stark is definitely...
Yeah.
Dunzo.
He's already kind of dead.
That.
Like, it's just confusing.
Yeah,
he's a confusing one.
In the book, they actually call him Cold Hands because he's basically yeah. a White Walker. He just has his mental capacity, I guess.
Yeah.
And
pretty
he's
cool
able to
character.
Kind of think for himself.
Kind of a cop out there, but he was able to swoop in and
yeah,
save
yeah,
Snow
it was
the
kind
way
of
they did.
Very fortuitous.
But they
know.
Needed something. Like, Snow, Jon Snow wasn't going to die that way. So
no,
they needed
I agree.
To do something.
And so I think it kind of worked out for the best. He
obviously,
was able to help. Yeah. Bran and then Jon.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Obviously, Littlefinger is dead. That was pretty sweet by the Stark girls.
Oh, yeah.
The dragon, really, just a goddamn shame.
Dude, the worst.
So, we already sort of hit on this, but what characters could still be alive? On that list, again, Ilaria Sand and Olenna Tyrell die off camera, but we both think they're dead. I'm
definitely.
With you. I think they're both dead for sure.
I think there's a chance Stannis is still alive. I think it's unlikely,
yeah.
but I think there could be that twist that, like, at the end of the day, like, Bran knew that keeping him around was probably the best case, and he could end up
right.
being, like, the rightful heir to Dragons or Storm's End.
Yeah, that's true. Now, was there any other character that in previous seasons has died off camera? I'm trying to think.
Not many.
I think most of them we have seen. Oh, so one guy, he's not dead, but we better see in season 8 is Daario Naharis.
Yeah, I feel like we have
we
to.
We have to.
So my thing is I think maybe there has to be a way that they're going to tie him into the Golden Company. The Golden
okay.
Company historically has always been loyal to Targaryens
yeah.
In many, many years past. And so maybe Daario kind of gets word that the Golden Company is heading to Westeros.
Oh, interesting.
And so he leaves Meereen and kind of hitches a ride.
Because we talked about this with my buddy Shark, probably the best one-on-one fighter, at least from what we've seen in the show. Like, I'm sure, like, Barristan Selmy was really good back in the day, or even Robert, or, like, all these guys were great in their own right. But what they've actually shown, he's never even really been tested. Like, he's so dominant in one-on-one fights.
I think there's a clear, like, top four when it comes to one-on-one fights, and it comes down to Daario, the Hound, Brienne, and the Mountain. Like,
see, I would disagree with you on the Hound.
Really?
I think the Hound, he lost to Brienne, he's lost to the Mountain, and I think...
Has he lost to the Mountain?
Well, he didn't do well. How did his face get burned?
I mean, he was like six, so
he was
cut him some slack.
No, but there was another time where they had like a little sparring match, I think, early in the season.
Well, he
right?
kind of stopped the Mountain from killing somebody at a
yeah.
At the tournament.
Yes.
And then kind of kneeled as the Mountain swung his sword
I think
around.
Oberyn is better than both of them.
Yeah, so if you're
I mean,
talking
dead
people too,
yeah,
I would
yeah,
say
yeah.
Oberyn and Khal Drogo have to be at the top,
Drogo,
towards
yeah,
the top
yeah,
of that
yeah,
list
yeah.
as well. Because,
okay.
I mean... Prior to Drogo dying of an infected cut that was basically infected by a witch.
No, true.
He had never lost a one-on-one battle in his life. That's why his ponytail was
so long. How are you going to get an infection like that?
Because he walked. He literally stepped into a blade because he's that badass.
Where your brain's at.
That badass.
That's kind of dumb. Kind of a dumb move there,
yeah,
Cal.
I think that's more Daenerys' fault.
Yeah, it might have been.
Would have healed on its own.
You know who's also pretty good is Jorah Mormont's pretty good.
Yeah, he's legit. Showed to be able to handle himself.
Yeah, he's really tough.
And I also think that the likes of, if we're talking dead guys, I think Ned Stark has to be up there having fought.
Ned's good.
Sir Arthur Dayne at the Tower of Joy.
Right.
Who's arguably one of the greatest swordsmen ever. So I think he has to be up there.
Two-hand Jaime Lannister is very good.
Yeah, with his second hand, he was very good.
He was very good. Bronn?
Your boy Bronn.
Bronn's tough.
Sellsword, he knows what he's doing. And I think at this point, too,
there's so many good matchups
Arya
you could have.
On there just because
put Arya.
She's shifty as crap.
So,
like, it's nuts.
Jaqen H'ghar.
Yeah.
I would think that he would be able to beat anybody, but as Shark said, I think a while ago, one-on-one wouldn't really be his strong suit.
Exactly.
But it's sort of like, if you need a kill, like that's the guy
who you
want.
To. Yeah, because he's an assassin. He's not a tournament fighter. He's not meant to fight one-on-one. He's meant to kill you when you're least expected.
Yeah, so one-on-one, like gladiator pit style, I think I would still put my money on Dario Naharis. A lot of good choices, though.
I think Dario's the way to go. I think Brienne just lumbers too much. And I think Dario is nimble and strong at the same time.
Yeah, I'm with you. So that's a sort of a side whole thing. But yeah, it would have been cool. And then they're going to do all these prequel shows, too. So they might even show some
nuts.
Other characters, too, which are going to be nuts. All right, this is always an important question, Chime. Who will be the first character? And I mean, you know, name character. Like a character who is popular enough to have a Funko Pop.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with here.
Okay.
Who will be the first of those characters to die in season 8.
This is probably the hardest decision of my life, considering myself an Oz maker
of my life
and a gambler.
You've got a good run then.
This is not an easy choice
to
make.
No, it's not.
Because I feel like there's a lot of people that could die, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that shouldn't die. And I think ultimately the first person of name that dies this season, I'm going to go with Euron Greyjoy.
Ooh.
I think he's going to die at the hands of Theon.
Really?
Yeah.
The
ultimate arc for Theon ends with him saving his sister, the only person that ever tried to save him, and killing his uncle.
Oh, that is pretty good. So,
I think you're going to get like a nice little storming of King's Landing with guys like Theon and Jaime the Hound.
I hate Theon.
And just like
Theon sucks.
Yeah, he does suck. He sucks.
No, that's a good prediction though.
His story really sucks to watch.
He's still there for a reason.
Yeah, and I think the whole conversation he had with Jon last season, where Jon's like, "Dude, you're a Stark and a Greyjoy. You can be both," is like really beneficial. And he goes, "I have to go save my sister." And Jon's like, "Well, what the hell are you still doing talking to me? Mm-hmm. Go save your sister."
Mm-hmm. So I think that this is sort of a side prediction, but I think eventually we are going to get the Mad Queen. I think that's something that people have talked about a lot. And, you know, whether it's she sees her dragon as an ice dragon or she just starts to have people around her die. So I think Grey Worm dies.
Ooh, okay.
I think that's one where he goes, they've been together for such a long time. She has so much respect for him. He's also, add him to the list. He's a really good fighter, too, one-on-one.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. He's an Unsullied. They're just bred to fight.
That's all they do. And I think somebody like that close to her goes, and then like, maybe even she sees it or something, and that really messes her up, too.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Grey Worm.
I like that. That's a good choice.
I don't know who necessarily kills Grey Worm. Now, it might be... It might be a walker. It might be like something like that.
Might be the Night King.
It could be the Night King. And okay, anybody else that dies early on? Actually, you know what? Let me do a separate question. Which character, if you had to bet money on it, best chance of surviving all 6 episodes?
The best chance of surviving Tyrion Lannister, 100%. If I'm putting my money on one character
Tyrion
to
makes
live
it through.
Out this season,
yeah. Who
Tyrion.
Makes it all the way through?
Because you look
what
at
about
Tyrion.
Varys.
Ooh.
I think Varys is a although I thought Littlefinger was a survivor, but he gets too close to the fire is his problem.
Well, and I think Varys is very similar because he's connected all those secrets. I think Tyrion has proven time and time again that he doesn't fight, but he knows how to stay alive. He keeps himself alive at all costs.
Because I don't think you can put money on Jon Snow, although he has died once.
But I don't think he can... I don't think you can bring him back again.
I don't think so.
It's like a cheat code.
He's going to be in all these battles.
It's like having unlimited ammo in GTA.
That is true. Do you see that guy with the tattoo?
I did.
Oh, my God.
Bananas. I don't like it. I'm not on that.
That's a little much. But, yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where, you know, a lot of people are predicting Jon Snow to be on at the end, but I feel like that's sort of the chalk pick, and it's not going to be the answer. And if anything, he's probably going to die.
Yeah, I think George R. R. Martin said in an interview that he wants the ending of Game of Thrones to be similar to Lord of the Rings in the way that he wants it to be a bittersweet ending. He wants his main characters to be changed forever and there to be drastic losses.
Right. If it's a happy ending, like...
It can't be.
It cannot be. You cannot tie all this
in a sweet little bow.
Right.
There has to be questions. There has to be pain. There has to be loss.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to do that with... You're not going to allow Danny and John and all these people to just get through unscathed.
Do you have... All right, so not just the first character, but other characters that you think might die in a noteworthy fashion. So for one, I have... So Jaime Lannister, I think this is a popular opinion at this point. Jaime is going to kill Cersei.
Agreed.
You agree with that?
I definitely think
Kingslayer slash Queenslayer.
Yeah, I think it just makes sense. And I think Jaime...
It's going that way, too. Like, he's trying to... He's like, listen, like you saw the fucking zombie. Like, this is a bigger concern. And she's like, yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. And then she's like, got the mountain there, and she's like, almost threatening to like have Jaime killed. And Jaime's like, you're not going to kill me, but he's going to have to get to a point where, just for the survival of everybody, he's going to have to kill her.
So I think it's weird because like I definitely think Cersei dies. I'm not sure, and I want to say that Jaime kills her. I feel like all signs point to Jaime killing her.
Well, because what were the prophecy about her younger brother's going to kill her?
The Valonqar.
Yeah.
So, but that's the only thing that the show kind of absolutely left out was the whole Valonqar prophecy.
Okay.
She did. The prophecy does say though that a younger and more beautiful a queen filled with beauty will cast her down. And so a cool little idea is that Brienne will be the one to kill her because they call her, quote, Brienne the Beauty as a joke because she's supposed to be really ugly.
Interesting.
And so that she'll be the one in honor of Jaime almost.
More like
in Jaime's memory.
Oh, that's it. That could be. Who do you think is Brienne is more likely to have sex with? Jaime Lannister or Tormund?
Oh, man. More likely. I'm going to go Tormund.
I hope so.
Because I've kind of rested with decision. I think another big name character that dies this season.
Yeah.
I think Jaime Lannister is going to die.
Ooh.
I have tossed this around in my head a lot. I thought Jaime might be similar to the prince that was promised, and I think he's going to end up sacrificing himself in the Battle of Winterfell.
Oof.
He's going to kind of help take down the Night King.
He's going to basically kill him.
He's going to be basically holding Thanos down while Jon kind of kills him.
So they're going to team up.
Yeah.
I like that. That's
a
good
Jaime's going to die in the process.
Oh, I like that.
And as Jaime's final words as he's dying, he tells Brienne, make sure to take care of my sister. And Brienne's going to be forced to kill her as she becomes a mad queen.
So you got Brienne killing Cersei.
I got Brienne.
Okay,
I'm going to go
Brienne
kill Cersei.
I'll still go with Jaime killing Cersei, but I could definitely see both Jaime and Cersei being dead and Tyrion... when it's all said and done, being the last remaining Lannister.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of how it makes sense to pan out.
Although, are we going to find out, is it going to be made known that Tyrion's not 100% Lannister? Because isn't the working theory that he's also a Targaryen?
He could be a Targaryen. Yeah, there's a lot of theories out there that he could be a son of the Mad King. So he could be technically Dany's half-brother as well.
Because the best theory...
Which is just bananas.
And Riddle Von Diddle brought this up last year. I don't know if he came up with it or he heard this. Was that the Targaryens can only have successful birth if both parents have Targaryen blood. And when they don't, there's a death. And so if you look at it, Tyrion's mom died giving birth to Tyrion. Jon Snow's mom died giving birth to Jon Snow. Dany survived, but her kid didn't with Khal Drogo. And there might even be one other example. And if you think about that, it fucking makes a ton of sense.
I think it's more so even just a... shroud of they call it melancholy in the books. A shroud of melancholy surrounds all Targaryens.
Okay.
Because you look back at Rhaegar, actually.
Yeah.
Rhaegar, so Aegon, the king at the time, so Aerys' father, Rhaegar's grandfather, Aegon, was king. And he was having this huge party at Summerhall for the birth of Rhaegar.
Yes.
And amidst the party, they kind of basically pyromancers kind of like had too much fun and everything
classic.
Was burning down. And so Rhaegar was born amidst this giant fire and tragedy. And so that's why originally he was born in fire and salt or smoke and salt.
Okay.
And so he was quoted, thought to be Azor Ahai because that's what Azor Ahai is pronounced to be born in, and yet that was not quite the case.
Okay.
So I think it's just more so a Targaryen thing where just Targaryens just have this, it's either shitty luck or just like bad juju on them where just people just die.
Could be.
During birthing.
It definitely could be. But this one, you know, it kind of makes sense because then, you know, Tyrion being part Targaryen, I think that I like that theory to it.
Yeah, I do too.
So there's definitely more death. I mean, out of, say, the 20 most popular characters, do you think more of them make it through or more of them die?
I'm going to go with the majority make it through. So, like, if there were 20...
Yeah, like, whoever they are, like, the top 20... Yeah.
I'd say, like, 12 are going to make it through.
Okay. Yeah, so 8 sounds right. Like, 60%. I do think you're going to get a decent amount of deaths. Like, maybe even one per episode. Like, one significant death per episode.
And I think episode 1's kind of going to be vanilla in that the introduction, the setting it up.
They've done that before in previous episode 1's, where it's like, here's where all the characters are, here's their motivation, let's get going. Although the way this last season ended, there's probably going to still be some action. I mean, once they show the wall, they need to sort of say, all right, how much of an advancement is the Night King going to have?
Yeah, and I think you're going to get a bulk of your deaths right there in episode 3. I think it's going to be episode 3 and episode like 5/6 where you're going to get the majority of your deaths, because it's going to be, you're going to start off kind of building in episodes 1 and 2. You get the Battle of Winterfell. There's going to be a ton of death there.
Yep.
You got to come down from that battle, and then you're going to rise back up at the climax of the show.
That's pretty good.
And kind of get some more deaths.
All right, Night King theories. I have 2.
Okay, let me hear them.
The first one, I think the Night King could be the Mad King.
Ooh,
I think you go to the Mad King. I don't know if they ever knew what happened to his body. Did they ever say?
They did not.
I don't know if they said, at least in the show. I haven't read the book, but at least in the show. So I think he could be the Mad King. And one of the reasons, too, is he rides the dragon. Now, I know he turned the dragon, but what we're led to believe is that only Targaryens can ride dragons. And that's why Jon Snow and Tyrion, if they want to, will be able to. But to this point, we've only seen Dany flying around and commanding the dragons. He's able to do it. I think it could be him. Plus, everything we know about him, he's an absolute psychopath. And so now he was able to get this power there and lead. The internet theory, which I hope is not the case, is that Bran is the Night King. I hate that theory.
I'm more into the idea that the Night King is a Stark of yore. So, like, Bran the Builder, come back to life kind of thing.
Yep.
Like, I'm more into that theory. And so that's why Bran and the Night King are connected, because of that Stark blood.
Okay.
I'm more into that theory than the Bran theory. I agree. I think the Bran being the Night King theory is just a cop-out.
Well, and the whole three-eyed raven thing is weird to begin with, if you ask me.
If you notice, the Night King has only killed 2 things. Himself has killed 2 things so far in the show. It's been the three-eyed raven and a dragon. And so there has to be a reason to why he felt the need to kill the three-eyed raven instead of having one of his, like, White Walker generals do it. Like, he specifically grabbed the scythe/axe thing from his guy and killed Blood Raven. So
now I also wonder, and I don't know where I'm pulling this out of, but if Bran is the Night King, I wonder if at any point it's going to sound lame coming out.
Okay.
But the only way they could end all of the fighting from, like, you know, Starks, Lannisters, Targaryens, mm-hmm. everybody, is to present this other challenge, right? Yep. Is to present this from the North. And that's what Jon Snow and Daenerys are trying to do. And they're saying, listen, like, there's no place to rule if these guys come down. And so maybe part of the motivation, again, if it's Bran, because I think Bran ultimately is a good guy. So maybe he's just thinking the only way we can end war is with, like, the war of all wars.
Yeah.
Like, we need to sort of have this insane enemy and for them to sort of team up together.
Yeah, I think it comes down to more so that it's just, you need an antagonist. It's not necessarily, I don't think the show has enough time to flush out exactly who the Night King used to be or is or anything like that. I just think he's the big bad guy.
Maybe
he's
going
to come down and you need to have a hero to save the day.
It's like Snoke.
Yeah,
who's Snoke? You're like, Snoke's just a dude.
It doesn't matter. He's just a Sith dude.
He's a bad guy.
Yep.
But there's still like kind of some unknown with everything north of the wall and like the whole thing.
A lot of unknown. It's just a lot of mystery.
The Stark motto is also bizarre to me. Like, their motto is winter is coming.
Well, so they've it's always been believed that they've been tied into the White Walkers. There's a ton of lore that said they even, like, a former Stark used to, like, sacrifice his babies to the White Walkers, like, similar to Craster. Craster did that.
Oh, Jesus.
And he was called the Night's King.
Got it.
Because he used to be a Lord Commander of the Night's Watch, and he lived at the Night Fort. And so, and that's where the fort where the tunnel goes underneath the wall, where Sam goes and Bran goes to get, like, to and from.
Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, Sam's another guy who I could see making it through all the way.
I agree.
For
I totally
sure.
Agree,
like, another guy.
I think he just, because he's the George R. R. Martin character. He's in the story to write everything down.
And he's going to have to, yeah, exactly. So I think
somebody has to
live
to tell the story.
Yes. I think he will make it. All right. Who's going to be on the throne at the end?
I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Please, I'm ready for it.
So I don't think anyone will be on the throne at the end.
I like that.
I think that there won't be a throne.
Ooh.
I think that when Daenerys says she's going to break the wheel, I think they're going to break the monarchy system completely. I think that they're going to change the dynamic in the world of Westeros.
They're going to create a Republican Party and a Democratic Party, and then they're
not quite. I think they're going to keep their Seven Kingdoms separate.
And a Whig Party.
You're
going
to have your leaders of the Seven Kingdoms, the people that the people of those kingdoms respect. And so if technically whoever sits the Iron Throne is whoever is in charge of the part of Westeros that contains the Red Keep, then my guess is going to be someone like Tyrion or Gendry. But
ooh.
But if it comes down to it, honestly, I think they're going to break the system instead of just leave it this broken system that they've seen fail for years.
So do you think it basically in this season goes from Cersei to Dany, and then Dany just destroys it?
Yeah.
All right. So, like, she eventually, like, technically she will be on the throne, but then, and then she'll be like, listen, this is not how it works.
Well, I more so even think that it's like Cersei is going to basically blow up King's Landing with wildfire, which is going to, like, destroy the throne.
Mm.
And Dany's going to die in the process of fighting the White Walkers.
Okay.
And Jon, in her memory, is going to be like, no, she wanted to break the wheel. We're breaking everything. This is how we're going to do it now.
Oof. Yeah. Actually, that made me think of what could be a badass scene is if Dany and the Night King are, like, staring at each other, and then the Night King tries to burn Dany, and it doesn't work, and she just stares back at him like, bro.
She's like,
I'm the unburnt. I'm the unburnt.
I am never
heard
unburnt.
Where's the
Breaker of Chains? Misa, they call me.
Yeah, where's my lady with all the nicknames I have? There's like 1,000 names.
Missandei,
right?
Missandei,
get over here. Get over here. Does Missandei make it through?
Yes. I say yes.
I hope so.
I think she becomes
fantastic.
Advisor. I think a lot of your advisor characters are gonna make it through. So your Tyrions, your Missandeis, Varys, Sam, those people.
Yeah.
The people that offer loyal counsel and aren't out for self-gain.
Now, was it you that was telling me another working theory could be that Jon Snow and Dany's baby
ultimately
at the end is in charge, and even if Jon and Dany die, Tyrion maybe looks after the young boy or girl, and then that person takes over.
I think that's a very likely scenario that, you know, in the battle either with Cersei or with the White Walkers and everything, Jon and Dany end up both dying, but Dany has given birth to this baby.
Yeah.
That now Tyrion is kind of king regent for now as the baby grows older.
Right. Because Missandei is
like
a baby
that
for
mother
no reason.
Figure
yes.
to take care
oh, yeah.
of Daenerys'
yes.
baby after yes. Daenerys took care of her.
I like that.
And Grey Worm is there to train him and make him into a soldier.
Yeah.
And then he becomes the greatest king Westeros has ever known.
So I like that. I mean, because again, they're not doing that for no reason.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, that is clearly going to be very important, I think, to this story. What do you think is Arya's arc in this? Because she still has a few names on her list.
Arya does have a few names on her list, and it's weird because I don't think she's going to kill any of them.
I really want her to get Cersei. I already believe it's going to be Jaime, and I know you say it's going to be Brienne, but Arya would be the sweetest
one. I think Arya would be the sweetest victory for us, but again, I think it's a bittersweet thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's going to get to claim that kill. I think she got to claim that Littlefinger kill, and she's going to get to claim a lot of zombie kills.
I think a lot of zombies. That,
she's not going to get the Mountain. She's not going to get the Hound, because I think she's friends with the Hound. She
agreed.
Had a chance to kill the Hound already, and she didn't take it.
She won't.
She
won't kill
the
Hound.
Him.
And there was a great scene when the Hound and Brienne are talking about Arya still being alive, and he's like, I'm not going to, like, mess with her.
And Brienne's like, nobody needs to worry
about
her.
Yeah, she's like, aren't you watching
her?
She's like, no.
No,
everybody
needs to be scared of her now.
Yeah, exactly. That was a great scene in the in the last one. So,
it's like two happy parents, like, reminiscing about
their
kid.
They really are, right. Just two killers, and I have another killer out there. So, I think outside of the dragon dying, the worst thing would be Arya dying.
I agree.
I need her to make it through.
I want her to make it through too, but like it's at the same time, it's like, what's her end game?
Well, is there enough time here for her story arc too? Because you want to find out. There's also like, is Jaqen H'ghar Serio Forel? Like, are they the same person?
There's theories that say they could be. There's a lot of theories that have said that, like, everybody Arya has met that has really kind of impacted her to this point has been Jaqen H'ghar. Jaqen H'ghar is nobody. Yeah. He is no one. Man, that's the point of being
crazy.
A faceless man.
Yeah.
And that they knew exactly who Arya was and that who she could be, and they kind of pushed her to this. And they knew she'd leave eventually, but they needed to prepare her for what she was to face.
What is the history of the faceless men?
So, ultimately, they used to be slaves years and years ago before the Doom of Valyria. They were slaves that worked inside of volcanoes mining gold and silver for these magician kings that ruled Valyria. Yeah.
Okay.
And the magician kings were said to hold back the volcanoes from erupting everywhere. And so the first faceless man was said to be a man that came around to slaves who wished for death and gave it to them. And then the Targaryens said they saw a vision that the Doom of Valyria was going to happen, so they left. But the theory is that they paid one of these faceless men to kill off these magicians and eventually lead to that magic not being able to hold the volcanoes back anymore and leading to the Doom of Valyria. And that's kind of how the faceless men came into play.
Yeah, because it's interesting. Like, they're just sort of on like the outskirts of all this stuff. Like, there's so much going on. Then you have like this group over here, which are pretty mysterious.
And they're so impactful.
Yeah.
So quiet, but so impactful.
Yeah. And so, I think you need to kind of get to that loose end at some
There's
point.
A loose end that needs to be tied up there, and I'm not exactly sure how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm curious for sure.
What about Sansa? Does she remarry? What do you think happens?
I think she can remarry. I actually think it's going to be something like she remarries and
Gendry?
Maybe, and like is putting King's Landing.
Yeah.
And like she's like one of the. Like
she's one of the leaders.
She's
I
one
can
of
see
those,
that.
Like, or like she gets sent to Dorne or something because Dorne's kind of leaderless right now.
Yeah.
She is seeking power. She wants some kind of power and responsibility, and she's gaining it. I mean, or she goes and becomes the Queen of the Vale. The Vale doesn't have a leader right now. The Vale army is following her in the north. So
that's
I think
true.
That kind of makes the most sense as she goes and claims the Vale for herself.
And then the Red Lady we haven't talked about at all.
Yeah, she.
Is it
wasn't
Melisandre?
In the trailer? Melisandre.
Masande and then Melisandre.
And Melisandre.
That's a pain in the ass. But Melisandre, what, I mean.
She tells Varys last season, she said, we must both die in this strange land.
Right, so right, good. I'm glad you brought that up.
She has to be here, and I think she's definitely going to die, but I don't know what the scenario like, is.
We
she
saw her
come?
Super old in one thing.
Yeah, which is
but
weird.
So why
I
did
think
she,
that was useless.
Why did she say that to Varys, though? Why does he also have to die in this land?
I don't know. So I think they're just both tied into the whole magic thing. Because like Varys' story is that like when he got his dick cut off because that's why he's a eunuch, it got thrown in a fire and this voice like spoke to him.
Oh my god!
It's a really weird story.
Oh my god!
But they both are tied into magic and they both ultimately just want what's best for the world.
Okay.
In two completely separate ways.
Melisandre,
way
man.
Crazier version.
Way crazier.
And Varys is much more kind of. Silently sinister version. But I think they're both gonna meet a cruel end one way or another.
Yeah, they could.
And I'm not really sure how. There's a theory that Melisandre shows up with an army of fire to help Jon fight the White Walkers, which is crazy. And
oh
I don't
my
think that
god!
Happens.
No, I don't think that happens either. Unfortunately, Shine, I could talk about this for like 5 more hours.
I know.
I definitely could. What do you got? What do you want to wrap up with here? Anything else?
Ultimately, I just want to. I think the if you look, you know me, gambling guy.
Yes.
Bovada actually has odds on who's going to sit the Iron Throne.
Yes.
Bran is currently at +300. I hate that.
I don't like that.
Either.
I hope it's not him.
Jon Snow +350.
That's
I'm okay
a sucker's
with those
bet,
ones.
I think.
I agree.
I mean, obviously, you need to put him as one of the favorites, but to me, it sounds like a sucker's bet.
I think your value picks right now are Tyrion or Jon and Dany's child. Tyrion's at +1,000. Jon and Dany's child +1,400.
Yeah, those are good. Those are better bets.
And then I think. Then Gendry at plus. He's jumped from like +2,200 to +700.
He's a Baratheon.
He technically
brought him back into the game.
There's also a theory that he's technically the son of Cersei.
Oh, I love that theory. Because of why?
In first season, when Bran is in a coma, Cersei's talking to Catelyn and says, "I had a brown-haired son once too, but he died to a sickness."
Oof.
And Robert and Cersei had sex on their wedding night, but Robert called her Lyanna, so that's why Cersei always hated him. And maybe she gave up the baby because Gendry never knew his mother.
Really good.
So
really good. Well, Shime, thank you so much. We could probably do several more episodes. In fact, throughout the year, the six episodes, we're going to try to do some recaps and things like that.
Hell yeah.
Check out the YouTube. Check out Shime Time at Shime Time on Twitter and Twitch. Of course, we're at Dork Podcast on the tweets. Going to be a double dork week. We have a WrestleMania preview with Jason Rossi coming up. And don't forget the live show, April 7th,
woo,
where we are previewing Endgame. So much in April. So excited to get to. Shime, thanks for coming in, my man.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Another perfect episode. We'll be right back.